Welcome to episode 1326 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. A new year has just begun, and like clockwork, millions resolve to change. We commit to losing weight, earning more money, reading more books, or finally organizing the garage. Yet by February, these resolutions fade like morning mist. Why? Because they address symptoms rather than the root condition. They aim at improvement without addressing what we were actually made for. There is something deeper stirring in the human heart, something our culture senses but struggles to name. Across social media feeds, in therapy offices, in late-night conversations among friends, people are asking variations of the same question. Is this all there is? Despite unprecedented material comfort, therapeutic language, and self-optimization tools, people report feeling more anxious, fragmented, and lost than ever. What we are experiencing is a profound hunger for something ancient philosophers and biblical writers understood intuitively: human flourishing. Nearly 24 centuries ago, Aristotle wrote about eudaimonia, often translated as happiness, though flourishing or thriving captures something deeper. For Aristotle, eudaimonia was not the feeling of pleasure or the absence of pain. It was the fulfillment that comes from living according to your nature, from actualizing your potential as a human being. Aristotle understood that every created thing has a telos, a purpose, an end toward which it naturally aims. An acorn's telos is to become an oak tree. A knife's telos is to cut well. A human being's telos, Aristotle argued, is to live according to reason and virtue, to develop excellence of character over time through practice and habit. What made Aristotle's vision compelling was its realism. He did not promise that virtue would make you wealthy or famous or always happy in the moment. Rather, he insisted that living well, developing courage, wisdom, justice, and temperance, created the conditions for a life that was deeply satisfying, genuinely meaningful, and oriented toward the good. This vision resonates across the centuries because it speaks to something true about human nature. We are not made merely to feel good. We are made for something. In the Bible, the psalmist captures this same truth, but with a theological center that Aristotle lacked. Consider the opening words of the Psalter itself. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed are those who do not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditate on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Notice the image, a tree planted by streams. Not a tree struggling in rocky soil or drought-stricken land, but one rooted near abundant water. The tree doesn't force growth. It grows naturally because it is planted in the right conditions. Its flourishing is not the result of frantic effort, but of being positioned rightly in relation to its source of life. The psalmist later returns to this image in Psalm 92, verses 12 and 13. The righteous will flourish like the palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Again, the emphasis. Being planted in God's house, in the courts of God. This is where flourishing happens. The human being, like the tree, is made to be rooted in something larger than ourselves, drawing life from a source beyond our own effort. This is crucial. The Bible does not contradict Aristotle's insight about virtue and character development. Rather, it provides the foundation Aristotle's philosophy lacked. Our flourishing is not ultimately about self-improvement or achieving excellence through our own determination. It is about being rightly related to God, the source of all life. When we delight in God's law, when we align our desires and actions with God's design for human thriving, we are not working against our nature. We are fulfilling it. Jesus speaks directly to this in the Gospel of John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Here is a staggering claim. Jesus associates fullness of life, abundance, flourishing, with himself and his mission. He positions himself as the one who restores what was lost, who makes genuine thriving possible. The alternatives, the thief who steals, kills, and destroys, are the false paths we wander down when we are disconnected from our true source. This is where we must pause and distinguish carefully between what our culture typically calls self-improvement and what the tradition calls flourishing. The modern resolution begins with dissatisfaction. I am not enough as I am. I am too heavy, not successful enough, not disciplined enough, not accomplished enough. The resolution promises that if I can force myself to change, if I can exercise more willpower, follow the right program, adopt the correct habits, I will finally be acceptable, finally be happy. There are several problems with this approach. First, it is fundamentally about self-sufficiency. I am the problem, and I am also the solution. I must be strong enough, disciplined enough, clever enough to fix myself. This is an exhausting and ultimately futile project because it places the burden of transformation on the very self that is broken. Second, the modern resolution treats change as primarily behavioral and external. Lose weight, make more money, read more books, check the boxes. But real change, the kind that produces lasting peace and joy, is not primarily about what you do. It is about who you are becoming. It involves your desires, your imagination, your deepest commitments. Third, modern resolutions are typically disconnected from any larger vision of what a good human life looks like. You resolve to lose weight, but to what end? So you can fit into clothes? So you can be more attractive? So you can live longer? These may not be bad reasons, but they are thin reasons. They lack the nourishing power of a vision that connects your particular growth to something transcendent, something that gives your struggle meaning. Flourishing, by contrast, begins not with self-condemnation, but with wonder. It asks, what am I made for? What kind of person am I called to become? What does it look like to be deeply, genuinely alive? It recognizes that you cannot transform yourself by willpower alone, that you need to be planted in something larger than yourself, drawing life from sources outside your own effort. It connects your growth to a vision of the good, to virtue, to becoming the kind of person whose very character radiates life. This is why the psalm uses the image of a tree planted by streams. The tree does not pull itself up and move to the water. It is planted there, and once it is rooted in the right place, flourishing is not forced. It is natural. It is what happens when you are in the conditions you are made for. We live in a peculiar moment in history. Despite our unprecedented material prosperity, our access to information, our therapeutic language and self-help resources, people report feeling profoundly empty. Loneliness is epidemic. Mental health crises are skyrocketing. Suicide rates are climbing. People are burned out, anxious, fragmented, and lost. At the same time, there is a growing awareness that something is missing from the materialist and individualist narrative that has dominated our culture. People sense that the pursuit of endless consumption, the optimization of the self, the achievement of status and wealth, while these may offer momentary satisfaction, do not deliver on their promise of a meaningful life. You can have the Instagram perfect body, the impressive career, the beautiful home, and still feel hollow inside. What people are craving, whether they name it this way or not, is flourishing. They are hungry for a vision of human life that is coherent, that connects to something transcendent, that tells them what they are for. They are exhausted by the project of self-improvement and desperate for the possibility of genuine transformation rooted in something beyond themselves. The Bible offers what our current moment desperately needs, a vision of human nature as oriented toward genuine goods. A understanding that virtue and character development are not burdens, but invitations to becoming fully alive. A conviction we are made to be rooted in something larger than ourselves. And a faith that this flourishing is not something we achieve through our own effort, but something we receive as a gift when we align ourselves with God's design. Over the next several months, as we explore 10 principles for abundant living found in God's law, we will ask, what does it look like to be planted by streams of water? How do the commandments actually open up the possibility of abundant living? This is not a self-improvement project. This is an invitation to come home to what you were made for. Father, help us to find ways to be planted and rooted so that we can draw our sustenance from you. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today,